Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Every week I remind you to write down a phrase, a thought. So today is no different. Listen with your spiritual ears and write a thought down that God speaks to you today. The title of this sermon today is The Main Thing. Right? The Main Thing. Once you become a Christian and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, the enemy knows he has lost the battle for your soul, right? He's lost. He's lost the battle for your soul. So the enemy's next move is to try to distract you from answering your call, from being effective, right? In the kingdom of God. So the enemy is trying to distract Christians from doing what they're called to do. And what are you called to do? Everyone is called to minister, which is service, right? You're called to minister, to be of service to people, to His kingdom. That's what you're called to do. But the enemy is trying his best to keep you from answering that call or to get into that ministry, those gifts that God's given you. He's trying to distract you. Make no mistake, there is a daily battle going on every day for your will versus God's will. A daily battle between your sinful nature and God's will for your life. There is. If you don't realize that, you need to write that down today. There is a daily battle going on in your heart because your sinful nature, as the Bible says, that when we are saved, our old sinful nature is dead and buried and we're new in Christ Jesus. And that's who we are. But as Paul said in Romans 8, there's a battle of two natures, even in Paul's life. Right? The great apostle. There was a battle there. And so that's going on every day. And if you don't realize it, it's time to realize it. There's a battle going on every day. Every day. To start this morning, I want to break Christians up into three categories. So let's picture three categories, all right? We got, maybe we'll do some illustration with some young people. We have any young people here, like high school age? I need three volunteers. One, two, three, just to come up to the front right here. I don't do a lot of illustrator. Mark, yeah, one. Anybody else? Chris got a few girls, and Bianca's in that age range. So just two more. Two more. One more. All right. All right, Destiny, since you beat me up, you're going to come up here. I'm sorry, I got this. Which one's? There's this. Which one's this? There she is. Okay. All right. Now, I want you over here. Remind me of your name. Kayleen. Haley's Comet. I forgot. Haley. All right, Haley. Mark, right in the middle. And Bianca, you stay right there. Three kinds of Christians. Now, don't get offended that this is the kind of Christian you are, all right? But this is for illustration purposes. There is a kind of Christian here. We make Bianca the saint. We make Bianca the saint. Is that right, Nelda? Am I way off? Okay, we'll just go with it. There's a kind of Christian who's on this journey to surrender her will to God's will, you know, what we've been talking about, who's learning how to deny her own will and God. And so she's every day understanding this and trying to get better. She's not perfect, but she's on this journey and is figuring out what the call of God is for her life, figuring out her gifts. So she's the one where we all want to be, right? Growing in the Lord, right? Not perfect, but growing in the Lord. And then we have another kind. Let me see here. I'll just stand behind you, Marky. I can't put my hands on you, but that's okay. Then we have another kind of Christian who is so busy, just so busy. Let me read it the way I have it here. The Christian who is so busy in service ministry, they forgot to focus on the main thing. We have some of those, right? Christians. They're just so busy, right? And pastors are guilty of this. Leaders, worship leaders, and all kinds of leaders and people working in the church. They're just so busy doing the work that they're forgetting to go into their closet and say, Jesus, forgive me, not my will, but thy will be done. He's just too busy in the ministry. Right? We've seen that. And then we have the other Christian who, now don't take it personal, who's got saved, but is just so busy with her own will, her own life, and just doing her own thing that she doesn't have time for the closet to pray, to seek God, to have more of God in her life. So I want you to visualize that. You have the person on the journey to be perfected. You have the Christian who's just so busy in the ministry, in the work, that they forget to pray and they forget to the main thing. And then you have the Christian who is just tangled up with worldly affairs, tangled up with the thorns of the sinful nature and all. Just God's not the main thing. And so today, you may be seated. Thank you so much. You've got it visualized now. Thank you for your... So today I want to talk about number two and number three. The one that's so busy in the ministry and the one that is just too busy for life and they're doing their own thing in life. Because I'm not going to talk about number one today because that's kind of what we're covering in our Tuesday workshop actually right now. We're covering that part. So a lot of detail in that. So if you missed Tuesday and you're like, I still want to be part of that class. I still want to be part of that lesson, of that training that we're going through. I have, and those of you who did your homework, thank you so much. I already have some in here. And if you have your homework, you can go ahead and bring it up. I'll put it right in here. But some of you had, Felix has his. Just feel free to bring it up because I might not have time afterwards. So, and this I warned the group, I warned the Tuesday night group. Thank you, brother. Eloy doesn't have his homework yet. How many of you are surprised that Eloy doesn't have his homework yet? Raise your hand. You are surprised or you're not surprised? He's a teacher. Praise the Lord. Okay, who gave me this one? There's no name. Oh, it's on the last page. Okay. I got it. If you are interested, I told the group, this is the only day you're going to have homework. So don't freak out that every week you're going to come out with homework. But it was just to get a good sense of some gifts that God has for people. But if you are interested, I think, Joseph, have you posted it online yet? Not yet. So today he's going to post it online. If you want to catch up, you can hear it online, the Tuesday night workshop on our website. And if you're interested in catching up and coming this Tuesday, I have the homework assignment. Now, this is what separates the sheep from the goat right here. I have the homework assignment that you need to take home and bring back on Tuesday. So, Eloy, would you take that and put it on the back? If anybody wants to catch up, you will need to have to fill that out because that's what we're going to be doing the next few weeks. So if you're like, what's Pastor talking about? We're going through a service ministry workshop trainings, classes, and we got three more weeks to go. So if you like want to see what it's about, come out. Come out and we'll do that together. But I want to focus on two and three today. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. All right. Our Christian number two, which Mark was representing. Let's read it here in Mark chapter 10, verse 38. We all know this story. But let's go through it. Now it came to pass as they went, the disciples entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. So Martha receives Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Jesus, tell her to get over here and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, the main thing. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So picture Mary and Martha. Mary is just like, listening to Jesus and just absorbing His words and just being in His presence. And Martha is that one that everything's got to be washed, everything's got to be... Anybody know anybody like that? Everything's got to be clean, nothing lying around, no? Because I married one of those. So, it's like a good blend. I'm like, everything can just be, and she's like, nothing can be. And somewhere in the middle we've met. She's gotten less organized, and I've gotten a little more organized, and we met somewhere in the middle. But that's what was going on here. So Martha was so busy with the service that she forgot the main thing. And the main thing at that particular moment was to be sitting at Jesus' feet. That was the main thing. So no matter how much work you do in ministry, how busy you get, how much you're doing, if you are not sitting at Jesus' feet, you're missing it. You're missing it. And that is so important that you never take for granted your personal relationship with Jesus. Praying. Saying, Lord God Almighty, I need You to lead me. Every day. It's a daily battle. It's a daily battle. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it reminds me to stay focused on the main thing. When things get really busy, I need to sit at Jesus' feet. When things get confusing, I need to sit at Jesus' feet. When things get hard, when they don't go my way, I need to sit at Jesus' feet. When I'm not sure what step to take in ministry or how to serve in my ministry and your ministry, if you're just not sure exactly when it's time to go and the timing and when you're supposed to do what, just sit at Jesus' feet. Martha was so focused on serving, she missed and she forgot the main thing. And that's Jesus Christ. Now our third Christian, type of Christian that we talked about, was the one that's just so busy with life. And they say, they believe in Jesus Christ, they accepted Him as Lord and Savior, they want to live this life in God where there's hope, where there's eternity in Him. But somehow they haven't been able to figure out that you're no longer supposed to be like the world. God's changing us, right? From the inside out. Amen. He's changing all of us. Amen. So a perfect example of that is the story of Samson, if you'll turn to Judges. Judges chapter 14. Verse 1. Verse 1 through 3. You know the story of Samson. He was born and had a calling, had a gift, had talent. And he was had this, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would receive this strength. This above normal human strength. And he received this gift from God for a purpose, for a reason. And the purpose and reason was to free the Jewish people from the Philistines, from rule, from bondage, from slavery, from the captivity that they were in. So he had a gift for a purpose, and that's always important to remember. All your gifts that God's given you for purpose, for a kingdom purpose. It's not so you can become famous on YouTube, right? That's the kids now, all their dreams. If I just put something on YouTube, I'll be famous. Your purpose is a kingdom purpose that souls may be won. That's your purpose. Somehow, some way, He's going to use your gifts to get there, whatever they are. You've got a purpose. So Samson had the gift. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would do some amazing feats. Let's read it. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy own brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me. All right. Does this sound self-centered? Yeah. One of the things we learned in week one on our Tuesday night class is about denying self. Well, Samson did not have that down yet. Obviously. He had a problem. And as you read on, he has a problem. Whenever he saw a woman that he liked, because of his strength, because everybody knew, he thought, I can have anybody that I want. So, and his parents are telling him, be wise, son. And he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to listen. Samson disobeys his parents, which is the beginning of his journey away from God. So Samson, who had a special gift from God of strength, was so busy following his own will, his own desires, he was not focused on the main thing. Clearly, he was not focused on the main thing. In Judges chapter 16, verse 4, you know, there's other parts of that story there you may want to read, but let me go straight to the main points here. In Judges chapter 16, verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Oh, another one. He's never happy. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see where he gets this great strength, and by what means he may prevail, that we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So there was a trick. They wanted to use his selfishness against him because he was self-centered. Samson was beginning to take for granted his God-given gift. Delilah would come to him and say, how do you get your strength? And then he would just make something up like a joke. You see, Samson began treating God's gift with disrespect. Right? It was a joke to him. Took for granted where his strength was coming from. His strength was a gift from God. And he began to take it for granted. And he began to disrespect it. You know, I have this gift, I'm just going to do whatever I want with it. And that represents that third Christian that begins to just do their own thing. And we begin to disrespect our calling and what we're supposed to be doing. And Samson was beginning to do that. He had already done it, and we don't ever want to take for granted the gifts God has given us. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We do not want to take for granted the gifts that God has given us. Beginning with the gift of salvation. Amen. Do not take for granted the gift of salvation. He's worthy to be praised, to be respected. Remember, He has saved us from a lost eternity. All of us will die one day. Some of us have lost loved ones that are already there. And we have this, our great hope in our faith in Jesus Christ that we will be reunited. It's there. Don't take for granted this gift of salvation. Don't disrespect that precious gift that He's given us, that we can all reunite as family, as a kingdom of God family. We'll all reunite in heaven in glory. It's an amazing, amazing gift. Don't take it for granted. When we begin to take for granted the gifts from God, our purpose in God's kingdom, we begin to take for granted that we have a purpose, then like Samson, we will not even realize when his presence is gone. Because in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, it happened. And he said to the Philistine, "Be upon," and she said, Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go as I have gone in the past, and I will shake myself." In other words, he will just break whatever chains they bound him with. "And I will shake myself and wist not. I will go out as the other times before and shake myself." And he did not even realize that the Lord was departed from him. You see, that number three type Christian we're talking about, when you just begin to do your own thing, you believe in God, but you just keep going on your own merry way, and sin doesn't bother you, and you're just whatever makes me happy, and you're just on your own self journey. His presence will depart at some point. Ask Samson. His presence was no longer there. His strength was no longer there. Because he took for granted. Let that never be us. That number three type Christian. And even the number two type Christian. We want to be on this journey of being perfected. Of learning. In the Tuesday class, I said this one phrase. We must be willing to go on this journey to deny self. It's a journey. And it's a conscience decision. But Lord, I'm going to go and deny self. I'm going to go and be that kind of Christian who is not afraid to confront my sins, my weaknesses, and say, "Lord, You help me. You empower me." That's the kind of Christian we want to be. Not perfect, but just willing to be on this journey. Jesus says, "Take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself." So let that never be us, like Samson. And those of you in ministry and already doing some work in the ministry, let that never be you, that the process is more important than the relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let that be you, because there is no peace there. There's no victory there. I'm telling you from experience, there's no peace, there's no victory with Christian 2 and Christian 3. There's no victory there. Surrender all. Then you'll start seeing God will open your eyes. Surrender it all. You see, many people just want to know, I just want to do enough to get to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. Pastor, what is that line? It's a dangerous journey. Because I don't know that line. Only God knows your true heart. I'll never give you advice and teach you how to barely skirt into heaven. You're not going to hear that from me. Number one, that's the only thing I'm pushing people. You need to serve God. Jesus is the answer. He's the hope. Surrender your will to God's will. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't teach. He says to the woman, He doesn't teach just get by. He tells the woman, "Go and sin no more." He doesn't skirt her. He says, You want to live? Die. Right? Jesus doesn't have 2 and 3 as an option. Right? That's up to Him. He knows hearts. I don't know the lines of salvation, and that's His call to make. But let not that be us. We don't want to be that person. Let that never be us. Like David cried out in the book of Psalm, "Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord, and take not Thine Holy Spirit from me." So that's what David said after he had sinned. And he realized that God, His presence could just pick off, leave. And David got on his knees and said, "No, Lord, I beg You." Maybe some of you are here today and you're like, "I already did this, Samson." Your calling is without repentance. You can't change the past. But here's the good news about the Samson story. Samson, when he finally figured it out, still fulfilled God's plan for his life. Don't we serve a merciful God? So during his last days, you can read the rest of it there. Samson's all bound up. The Holy Spirit's departed. Samson's all, they gouged his eyes out. And he's there and he finally realizes, "Lord, I've sinned." And he figured it out. "Lord, just let me have this strength one more time for You and fulfill the call that You have for me." And you know the story. Samson ends up killing more Philistines on his last breath than he had his whole life. And he answered the call. Wasn't the way he would like have liked it, but God can't. He didn't make robots. You have a free will. Samson had a free will. And he made lots of mistakes. And there was consequences for those mistakes. But, church, the good news is this. When we repent, we still fulfill the calling. It doesn't just go away. If you were called to be a pastor, a minister, you were called to be a teacher, or whatever you were called to be, and you may be thinking, "Well, I've already made too many mistakes. How can I now get in front of people and show people the way when I've made all these mistakes?" Actually, you'll be amazed what God can do with your mistakes. He can turn them around. They can become testimonies. And they can bring people to Jesus Christ. See, there's nothing God can't revive from the dead. That's who He is. He brings what seems dead to life. That's who He is. So there you have a presentation of Christian 1, 2, and 3. And the main point today is every single one of us need to keep the main thing, the most important thing. And that is Jesus Christ, your relationship, your prayer. You're being that kind of Christian that says, "Lord, take my life, change it. Do what You will with it." I'm going to ask Michelle to come and play some music. You just bow your heads, close your eyes, stay in the attitude of prayer here for a few minutes. This message today is about refocusing. Refocusing to the main thing. Not getting too busy in life, not getting too busy in ministry, not getting too busy. Getting out of focus. I believe God is asking His church to refocus, to get ready, get ready. He's called you to minister. He's called you to be of service. But the very first step is to keep the main thing, the most important thing is Jesus, your relationship with Him. We're all called to minister.
to serve. But it takes a willing heart to choose to walk in that ministry or in that calling. A willing heart. Don't be so busy in doing good that you don't sit at Jesus' feet. Don't get so busy in life like Samson was that you don't have time to talk to God, which is the main thing. Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone, must be the foundation of all that we do. He must be the cornerstone of everything, that who we are, our very being. Our lives belong not to us, but to Jesus Christ, the author of our faith. So I'm going to ask you to respond this morning in prayer. And by responding, you're just answering to the call from the Holy Spirit, the conviction, and you're saying this: look, I'm publicly just taking a step to tell myself I need to refocus on the main thing. That's what this is. Some of you need to respond by coming to the front, and you're saying, I'm ready to refocus on the main thing, my relationship with Jesus Christ, my prayer, my prayer life, reading of the Bible. Don't be so busy with following your own will. That you don't have time for the main thing. Because if we don't refocus our lives to what is most important, then like Samson, God will depart and we'll no longer feel His presence. Lord, let not that be us, Lord. We want You, more of You in our lives. Because the truth is that without Jesus Christ as the main foundation of our lives, there is no power. And there is no victory there. It's only when we stand on our faith in Jesus Christ completely, willing to deny ourselves our own will. It's only when we stand there that we will begin to see God's power at work in our life. The power, when you pray for somebody, they tremble because they feel the power of God. The victory. Then when the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, we see him running away from the power of God. So if that's you, you're ready to say this morning, it's time for me to focus on the main thing. I'm going to count to three. We're going to sing a song and you're just going to come. And we're just going to believe by faith that we're taking a step of faith. That today is a new beginning for Christians. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you want to, today is the day. It's time for me to focus on why I was created. The main thing. One, two, three.